be done in every heart this night, that sinners will be taken out of their sin and brought to Christ. Do this, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You cast your mind over the past week that has just ended. I'm sure you can think of many conversations that you've had with different people, perhaps about work or business or about family. Now, I'm sure if you're any way like me, you won't remember every detail of every conversation that you had this week. Unless it's one of those conversations that is etched in your memory and will never be forgotten. Well, tonight we read of the record of a conversation that took place many years ago. It took place very shortly after this world was created. But this is a conversation that is still etched in the mind and in the makeup of all mankind ever since. You see, this was a conversation here in Genesis chapter 3 that has really marked mankind from that day. This was a discussion that still bears its fruit right until this very day. Because in Genesis chapter 3, we have Eve, the mother of all living. And she enters into a dialogue, a discussion, a conversation with Satan, described here as a serpent. This was a most foolish conversation, a most futile conversation. Because the more Eve talked with the serpent, with the devil, the more she was ensnared and entrapped, and the more he brought her into her evil snare. It's always a foolish thing to enter into a conversation with Satan. But Eve did. Now, the content and the subject of this conversation was the words that God had just spoken to Adam and Eve in the garden that we read of in chapter 2. After God had placed man in the garden to dress it, to tend to it, God came to Adam and he gave him one certain command, a particular command. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it was that command, that instruction, which was the subject and the content of Satan and Eve's conversation as we come into Genesis chapter 3. Here we have the first mention of Satan. And what's he doing? Well, in verse number 1, we see that right away he is seeking to undermine and challenge the authority of the Word of God, because he says, "Yea, hath God said." He questions what God has said to Eve and to Adam. He questions the Word of God. And then as that conversation goes further, he takes another step. Because he not only now casts doubt on the Word of God in verse number 1, but as we come down to verse number 4, we see that he outrightly denies the Word of God, because in verse number 4 he says, "Ye shall not surely die." So he doubts the Word of God and then he denies the Word of God. And this is the conversation into which Eve has gotten into. Well, this is a most awful, wicked, terrible conversation, but it's a conversation that reveals the true nature of Satan. I say to you tonight, saint or sinner, Satan, the devil, is not your friend. He is not your friend. There are those who this evening, in their ignorance and in their blindness, will claim to be the friends of Satan. Of course, that's where Satan wants them to be. But Satan has only one desire, one design for your soul tonight, and that is to damn you. Satan does not have your best interests at heart. He did not have the best interests of Eve at heart here in Genesis chapter 3. He wanted to doom her and to damn her. That's exactly what happened. Eve was blind to it all. What Satan was doing here was seeking to destroy her soul and seeking to cause a separation from God, and sadly, he succeeded. But it was all done by lies. What he wanted to do and what he still wants to do to your soul tonight is to cast doubt on the Word of God, to cast doubt on the authority of God's Word, and to question every word of God. Now, Satan talked with Eve in the form of the serpent here. He was seeking to bring her down. She was created like Adam, in that state of absolute perfection, perfect righteousness and holiness unto God. But Satan wanted to bring her down from that place. Satan wanted to bring her down, and sinner, tonight, that is what Satan still wants to do to you, to bring you down. Bring you down to a lost, Christless, hopeless eternity. That is Satan's ultimate aim, make no mistake about it. His desire is to damn you, just as he himself is damned. And what he does then, he does now, is that he will spin the biggest of lies that you ever heard. The problem is there are too many willing to listen, and too many willing to heed the lies of Satan. Here, in Genesis chapter 3, we have the first mention of Satan in the Bible. But here also we have the first lie in the Bible, and it's summed up in the words of verse number 4, "Ye shall not surely die." That latter part of verse 4 is the devil's gospel. Ye shall not surely die. That is the gospel according to Satan. The biggest lie from the biggest liar himself. You remember what it was, what the Lord himself said of the devil in John chapter 8? That he was a murderer from the beginning. You see, he wanted to kill the soul of Eve and Adam. He abode not in the truth. There was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The sad part in this meeting tonight, are there those who have swallowed the devil's lie? Are there those who have believed the lie of the devil? And as Satan comes and casts doubt, as you've listened to the preaching of the gospel, and you've listened to the word of God, and you've listened to the invitation to be saved, Satan has come to you and cast doubt on the authority of God's word. That's why you're not saved. Ye shall not surely die. The biggest lie in the Bible. There's another title for the message. And there are so many this evening, perhaps even in this meeting, believing the lie of the devil. You see, this evening there is a choice, a very simple, clear choice to make. A choice to believe either the devil's gospel or the Lord's gospel. The truth of God's word or the lies of sin. As we think of the subjects before us this evening, the Bible's biggest liar, I want you to see here the subtle credibility of this lie. Subtle credibility of this lie. Chapter 3 starts off with our first introduction to Satan. Without warning, without introduction, Satan appears. Even in that place of paradise, the serpent was there. What a lesson there. How we always need to be on our guard. Satan's always at our heels. He's never far from us. But Satan enters into the garden in disguise, undercover. Because he enters into the garden as one of the creatures that was created by God, that was created good by God. And he enters into the serpent. And verse number 1 tells us that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. This is one of the serpents, one of the creatures that we'll not take time to look at it, but in chapter 2 was placed in the garden, created in the garden. We saw a few weeks ago when we noticed the promise, the first promise of the coming Savior, that when God spoke to the serpent in verse 14 and verse 15, that the serpent was cursed from that point on. Why? Because of his lies that he told. And the curse was that the serpent would then crawl on its belly. Look at verse 14. Because thou hast done this, that is, that thou hast entrapped and ensnared Adam and Eve, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Of course, the serpent, the snake, right to this very day, is a crawling animal. It's a crawling creature. Crawls along the ground, and it eats the dust of the ground. And it all goes back to this curse that was put upon it here in Genesis chapter 3. But you see, before this, the serpent appeared as reasonable. The serpent didn't have cause any concern to Eve. Eve wasn't taken unawares as she entered into this conversation in Genesis chapter 3. But you see, Satan in the form of the serpent starts to this conversation. Satan appears as an angel of light, with nothing to suggest that there's any evil intention at all. Satan comes to Eve as one of God's creatures that he had created good, and he masquerades himself as such. Satan is the great impersonator and the great imitator. And that's why we always must be on our guard. Because he will use every deceptive and every devilish way to damn souls and to disguise his true reality. And so when Satan comes in the form of the serpent and speaks to Eve here, there's nothing on the surface to suggest that this was Satan, that this was evil. It all seems so plausible. As you go through this conversation, even in those opening verses, it all seems so rational, so understandable. And it all starts off with the planting of the seeds of doubt in the mind of Satan. What ended up in verse number 4 with a denial of God's word started off with a doubt. And so Satan kicks off the conversation. Verse number 1. And he says, Eve, you remember what God said? You remember how that he talked about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that tree would be in the midst of the garden? You see that tree over there, Eve? That lovely tree, it's a beautiful tree created by God. It's a lovely tree to look at. Look at its leaves, look at its foliage, look at its fruit. It's a beautiful tree, Eve. It's like all the other trees. Why would God say not to eat of that tree? There's nothing wrong with that tree. Why would God say not go near that tree? Look at it, Eve. Why would you not eat of it? What's wrong with it? It's lovely. Its fruit would be beautiful to the taste. You see, what the Satan was doing there is raising doubts in the mind of Eve. Now, we've got to remember, Satan knew exactly what God had said. There was no doubt in the mind of the devil. He knew exactly that when God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The devil knew that. The devil was seeking to entrap and ensnare and to bring Eve down by questioning and challenging the authority of God's word. Eve, you weren't even there when it was said. It was said to Adam. You only got it second hand. Are you sure that's really what was said? Why on earth that tree? Look at it. It's beautiful. It's pleasing. It's acceptable. There's nothing wrong with it. That's how Satan works. Everything seems so plausible and seems so pleasing. What's wrong with it? Well, there's everything wrong with it. Not with the tree itself, but with the command. What is sin? What is sin? Sin is a breaking of the laws of God, the commands of God. Any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. God laid down the law in verse 17. Don't eat of that tree. The day you eat of it, you'll die. And sin is a breaking of the law of God. Plainly and simply, that's all that it is. And Satan comes to cast doubt. That tree is so acceptable. There's nothing wrong with it. And tonight, sinner, the devil's saying to you, there's nothing wrong with your sin. You're not really all that bad anyway. You're upright, you're moral, you're good living. There's nothing really wrong with it. And surely the Lord is not going to punish you because of your sin, because you're not really a sinner anyway. And the devil will come to cast doubt on the authority of God's word. And he'll say to you tonight, well, yes, there's a hell, but hell's reserved for those murderers and those awful criminals and those who commit the most terrible of crimes, but not for you. For you. God wouldn't send you to hell. That's the lie of the devil. Doubting the authority of the Word of God. Whenever the Lord writes, whosoever is not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast out into eternal damnation and destruction. Whosoever was not written in the Lamb's book of life. In other words, if your name is not written in heaven, then you will be lost. But the devil will come to you tonight and say, did God really say that? Did he really mean it about you in particular? Look at you, how good you are, how acceptable you are, all that you do. Surely God's not going to cast you out. It would be unreasonable for you to go to hell. And that's exactly what the devil said to Eve. It would be unreasonable for God that you shouldn't eat of that tree. Eve continues this assault in the Word of God by misrepresenting what God said. You see, she had got into conversation with the devil and she has listened to the lies of the devil, yea, hath God said. And then the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I want you to compare verse number 2 and verse number 3 of chapter 3 with verse 16 and 17 of chapter 2. Let's see what Eve thinks God said, and let's see what God did say. The end of verse 16. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Chapter 2, verse 16. Look across to verse 2 of chapter 3. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. No mention of every or no mention of freely. Robbing the Word of God of its force and the bounty of God's provision. God said, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. There's the bounty and the glory and the provision of God. But Eve robs God of that bounty. She robs the Word of God of its force. And then at the end of verse number 3 in chapter 3, what does she say? God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Look what God said in verse 17 of the previous chapter. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's a very clear emphasis there, but it's lacking as you come into the words of verse number 3. Eve is just minimizing the penalty. Well, lest you die. Well, you might die, but I'm not too sure now that you talk about it. No, actually, when I think about it, and when my rational mind, you know, those people with their rational minds and their reasons, well, actually, well, it might happen, but then I'm not too sure whether it would happen anyway, now that you talk about it. And she says, well, lest you die. God said, ye shall surely die. There's no doubt in the mind of God. She reduced it to something minor or something insignificant. It was just a possibility rather than a stated reality. But then she adds to the word of God as well. Because at the end of verse 3, she says, neither shall ye touch it. The Lord said nothing of the sort. Verse 17, what does he say? Verse 17, chapter 2, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. No mention of not touching it. What is she doing? She's taken from the word of God. She's minimizing the word of God. She's changing the word of God. She's adding to the word of God. And as a result, she becomes easy prey for Satan and the devil. Listen, that's a terrible plight in our province tonight. Now, I don't have time this evening to go through this, but it's worthy of messages all of themselves. As I was preparing this message, and especially there in verse number 3, what Eve is doing there, adding to the Word of God, taking away from the Word of God, minimizing the Word of God, it's exactly what the translators of the modern perversions of Scripture are doing today. And so the Word of God is just a simple book. In our authorized version, there are over 50, I think it's 50 or 53 mentions of the word of hell. Word hell. In the NIV, that's just one in particular, just 13. Taken away from the Word of God. And I'm told that in more recent translations of the New International Version, when we read Luke 16 about the rich man, Lazarus, the rich man in hell, there's no mention of hell. Why? Because the devil wants to take away the force of the Word of God and to cause confusion and delusion in the mind. We love the King James authorized version of the Scriptures. And please to God, we never err away from it. All these other Scriptures are perversions. They minimize God's Word. They remove the force of the Word of God. They're only the works of Satan, and I have no apology for saying that. What is going on in chapter 3, verse number 3, and verse number 4 is going on across this world today where reasonable, rational minds are sitting down going through the Scriptures and saying, well, God couldn't really have said that. It all seems so credible. God surely couldn't send a sinner to hell. You see, there's the subtle credibility of the lie. Are you believing the subtlety of Satan tonight? Is there someone in this meeting tonight and you know you're not right with God, and God is saying to you, shut out your ears to that man in that pulpit. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The devil's not as bad as he's making out. And anyway, God's not going to send you to hell. My friend, tonight, take the Word of God as it is the Word of God. And the Bible says, and God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Believe it. There's the subtle credibility of this lie. But I want you to see as well here, secondly, the strong contention in this lie. Because as we come back into verse number 4 of chapter 3, the devil strongly contends and argues a very emotive point here. I want you to see it. Because when he says there in verse number 4, ye shall not surely die, what's he saying? He's saying God's not going to punish your sin. God's not going to punish your sin. You take of that fruit. You eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You'll not die. God won't punish your sin. It's a complete denial and outright denial of what God said at the end of verse 17 in the previous chapter. In fact, in the original, verse number 4, the negative is put first to reinforce the lies of Satan. Not die. Eve, you won't die. Don't be silly. God's word came with force in verse 16 and 17 of the previous chapter. He commanded them, but now Satan's word comes to confuse them. God's not going to punish you. God's not going to damn you. Don't worry about it. God's not going to banish you from the garden, and God's not really going to punish your sin. In other words, Eve, you take of that fruit, it'll do you no harm. It'll be fine. You can disobey God's word all you want. No harm will come to you. There are hundreds, yea, thousands of people across the city of Belfast tonight believing, swallowed the lie of the devil. Sinning, and sinning, and sinning. And believe there will be no consequences for it. Believe there will never be a day of reckoning. And they can shout at gospel preachers all they want. And they can trample into the ground the gospel tract. And they can curse the preaching of the gospel up and down all they wish, and they believe there'll be no consequences for it. Because they, like Eve, have believed the lie of the devil, God won't punish your sin. Look what God has provided for you, Eve. Look at all the creation. See the handiwork of God. God's not going to punish you. Look at His love. Look at His goodness. How could He ever punish you? You know, whenever God said that in verse 17, Eve, He wasn't really serious. Just said it to scare you. You preach the gospel today in all of its fullness, you'll be accused of scaremongering. Well, if that's the charge that's laid at our door, so be it. We're not here to scare you tonight. We're here simply to present to you the truth of the Word of God. You reject God, you reject His Word. You reject Christ and His gospel. You shall die in your sin. And you'll be punished for your sin. God won't really punish sin. Isn't that what the devil's whispering into your ear tonight? And He's using that lie to hold you in your grip of sin. Oh, you would be saved tonight, but the devil's holding you. Don't worry, it'll all work out in the end. You'll get to heaven all right. And when God talks about hell and sinners being cast out into outer darkness, He doesn't really mean hell. When He talks about the pit of hell and the bottomless pit, and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, He's just using language there. It's not reality. And God says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Listen, there is a judgment. And whether you want to believe it or whether you want to accept it or not, it doesn't make one button of difference. You can deny the fact that you will ever meet God all you want. You might even deny that there is a God. You can deny it all you want. There is a God tonight. And there's a God who punishes sin, and you will meet him one day. You'll stand before him someday and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Oh, listen tonight, don't believe the lie of the devil when he tells you there's no consequences for sin. Don't believe the lie of the devil that tells you you can come and go from gospel meetings and hear the gospel invitation and reject the gospel and it'll all be all right and it'll all work out in the end. And you can live your life in sin, there'll be no punishment, it'll all be fine. We'll all live happily ever after. Listen, the devil himself believes in the veracity and in the truthfulness of the Word of God. And more than that, so does every lost soul in a lost eternity. They believe what God said about sin, but it's too late for them. When God says sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. When God says, I will execute judgment upon you for your sin, he means it. He will do it. You die without Christ, you die in your sin. You meet a holy God still in your sin. You shall go to a lost eternity. Case settled. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't take away from the fact of it. God punishes sin. There's the subtle credibility of this lie, the strong contention of this lie. But finally, as we close, there is the sad compliance with this lie. Because as we come into verse number 6, we see Eve complying with the lies of Satan. In verse number 5, Satan came to her and said, oh, you're not going to die. In fact, he promised to Eve in verse number 5, he promised her the sun, the moon, and the stars. Eve, you'll be worshipped. You'll be bowed down before. Your eyes will be opened. Well, that was true. And your eyes will dazzle like never before. You'll be as kings and princes. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. He promises there self-gratification in sin. Something that elevates man, something that makes man feel good. That's another lie of the devil. He wants sinners to feel good in their sin. Do you feel comfortable tonight in your sin? Are you happy in your sin tonight? Are you happy on your way to hell? That's exactly where the devil wants you. And Eve complied with the lies of the devil as we come in to verse number 6. Oh, she believed the word of Satan rather than the word of God. She preferred the gospel of the devil rather than the gospel of the Lord. And she turned her back on God. Look at verse 6. Notice these downward steps. We just leave them with you. And when the woman saw. That look then turned into a lust. She took. That desire then became a decision. And she did eat. And the choice then, it became a chain because she now became chained to her sin. And then she gave also one to her husband with her, and he did eat. The sinner turned into a seducer. See the awful consequences of sin. And when they realized what they had done, verse 7, their eyes were both opened. But they were opened in shame. And they realized their wretchedness. Sin brought shame. Sin brought separation from God. Sin brought sorrow. Oh, they realized it, but it was all too late. Oh, you might believe tonight what God says about sin and might believe what God says about judgment, and you still can accept the lie of the devil. It's not going to happen to you. Listen, there will come a day. There will come a day when you wish you had listened to the word of God rather than swallowing the lies of the devil. As you stand in the torments of a lost eternity, and as you suffer in that place of blackness and darkness, and you remember every time you sat under the preaching of the word of God, and you remember every time that the Spirit of God strove with your heart and convicted you, and every opportunity to get right with God, you'll remember it all. And God called you in salvation and people pleaded with you to get saved, and yet you wouldn't do it. You accepted the lie of the devil that ye shall not surely die. It's not going to happen to you. Listen, God is serious about sin. God is serious about the consequences of sin. And dear sinner, tonight, 1 minute. 1 minute in a lost eternity, you will wish you had believed. Lazarus in hell wished he had believed on earth. But it was too late. Tonight there's opportunity, there's time for you. Which gospel will you receive tonight? Which gospel will you believe tonight? The gospel of the devil would say, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. There's no judgment, there's no punishment. You'll not die in your sin. Everything will be fine. Or the gospel of Christ, which says, tonight, be ready, judgment is coming. Flee from the wrath of God. Which gospel will you believe tonight? Ye shall not surely die. The lies of Satan. Or the word of God, who says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And when we talk about death there, we're not talking about physical death. That will be the lot of all people if the Lord doesn't come. We're talking about eternal death. When that soul that has been separated from the body in eternity is separated forever from God in hell. Is that the death you will face? Eternal death, eternal damnation. That's what the devil offers you tonight. That's the results of the gospel of Satan. But the gospel of Christ offers to you tonight eternal life and eternal salvation. Which will you choose? Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you come and be saved? Reject the lies of Satan and receive the word of God. Let's bow in prayer. As we close in prayer this evening, we make ourselves available to you tonight if you have a concern about your soul and you want to speak, matters you want to put right, then we're here for you. Come tonight to Christ. Come and be saved. Heavenly Father, we pray that this night there will be believing hearts. Lord, that tonight the lies of the devil will be rejected and that the word of God will be received. Be received to the saving of the soul. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray you'll speak. Strive with sinners tonight. May they not leave this place until they come and put their faith and trust in Christ. Do that, O God, which only thou canst do. Come upon us, we pray. Work on. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in closing to the hymn number 227. Hymn number 227. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming Jesus is passing this way. Hymn number 227. We're going to sing verse 1 and verse 3. Just the first and the third verse of this final hymn tonight. Jesus is passing this way as he's passing. Don't miss him. Rather tonight, come and receive him. 227, verses 1 and 3 only, standing as we sing, please. Let's stand to sing.